In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. These and many other promises encourage us to flee to Christ in our hour of need. He came to help. He alone can help. He desires to help. Run to Christ, dear Christian. Run to Christ and do not look back, lest you perish like Lot's wife. There's nothing for you here. Flee to Christ and leave this world behind. So Jairus, that ruler, he fled to Christ. His 12-year-old daughter should be budding with life. Instead, death encased her. As a father, he was powerless. A mother could only weep as death crept in to steal life, tear apart families, and shatter hearts. But a glimmer of faith pierces death's shroud. So Jairus fled to Christ. On the way, a woman meets Christ. She too flees to Christ. After 12 years of suffering, hurt, and pain, she finally flees to Christ. All her riches were gone. None of it helped. Every doctor she had sought only made matters worse. Poor, broken, and humiliated, she finally flees to Christ. Ashamed, she approaches from behind. After all, she doesn't want to detain the Lord. He's on his way to help a child, and certainly that takes priority, or so she thought. She doesn't want much, just a touch, and not even of his flesh, but just the hem of his garment, for that will be enough. Battling the crowds, she makes her way to Christ. Those crowds push on him from every side, and yet not one of them is healed, for they lack faith. But faith directs this woman's path. Faith moves her feet. Faith reaches out its hand for just a touch. No one will know. But the Lord knew. So he stopped. He stopped and called for the woman. Though she too is terrified as Adam and Eve were terrified, she doesn't try to scurry and hide as they did. But she comes forward and falls at his feet. Faith bends her knee. Faith had reached out his hand and was not slapped away, but was blessed. Faith fled to Christ, and so Christ stopped to strengthen faith. She hadn't stolen something from him. She didn't get it by trickery or deceit or by sneaking up on him. This was the Lord's will to heal. For the Lord always helps those who come to him in faith. He always heals them. This is his unchanging will. So you see how Christ exalts faith so that you might learn that he never turns away or despises you when you come in faith. Come to me. I will give you rest. But we hesitate. We're not quite sure how to do this. We can't physically flee to Christ as this woman did. We don't visibly see him. He's not just visibly in one locale as he was in her day. We're not quite sure just exactly what he will do with our burdens and our problems. So what about our hurt children, our broken families, and our failing relationships? What about our hurting souls and our weary and weathered bodies? Christ has ascended into heaven. Can he still lay hands on us? Or are we left with nothing more than a shadow of the incarnate Word? Has the Word made flesh become a ghost? And is this Jesus who touched the suffering and the nails which bit his hands, is he nothing more than a thought in our mind? No. He He still is man. He still wears flesh and blood even this day. In fact, wherever you find the Son of God, you find his human nature, ready and willing to help. Whatever he does through that human nature. For we believe in one person, not two, one person, Jesus Christ. And all that he does for you. To flee to Christ doesn't mean you ignore your earthly life or set aside your problems. If you do that, you will just have more stress and more frustrations tomorrow. But flee to Christ when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary from life. Come to me, you who are worn out from old age and a failing body. Come to me, you who are burdened with unspeakable diseases and frustrations, things which no man should ever have to go through, let alone a child. Come to me, you who have to make life-altering decisions seemingly every day. Come to me and I will give you rest. Cast all your burdens on me, for I desire to make it my own. It shall be my burden, my problem, my trouble to solve, for I have delivered you and I will always deliver you." To flee to Christ means that we believe he is a gracious, merciful, and loving God. Even in the midst of trouble and suffering, he is still gracious. But more, to flee to Christ is not simply to believe that he is gracious, but is to believe that he is dealing with me by his grace and his grace alone. It's not simply a belief in who he is, but in a belief in how he is treating us this very moment. Even though we see hardship, evil, and disease, even though we struggle, suffer, and chronically ache, even though we're heartbroken and afflicted, we confess this as the love of God poured out on us. He's not angry. He loves. He's not ignoring us to deal with someone else's problems. He's interested in you. He is in full and complete control of your life, paying attention every second of every day. Nothing happens apart from him. And he has no anger, no wrath, no punishment for you, but only grace, only love, only mercy. For you confess him as your Savior, not just 2,000 years ago, but even on this very day. Everything he does for you, everything. He spins the world for you. He gives seed to the sower for you. He gives peace to this nation for you. So flee to Christ in deep humility and repentant faith, even as this woman did. You may think that he has turned away and heading in the opposite direction, but faith pursues him because you believe that he is gracious and merciful, and he must be, always, even if your eyes do not see it. He is being gracious to you even if your hearts do not feel it, for he is your Savior. So each one of us must confess, "I know that I am sinful and impure, lying in prison, danger, death, shame, and disgrace. And I feel nothing in my body but sin and death, heartbreak and frustrations. Yet I am holy and just, not of myself, but through Christ and through Christ alone. He is my wisdom, my justification. He is my sanctification and my salvation. So he must be gracious to me. He cannot leave me. He cannot withhold himself from me. But he must be blessing me right here, right now." Would that God grant to all of us such a faith. Would that each day and in each trial, each of us flee to Christ, casting ourselves on his grace completely. Would that each of us confess that God is hiding behind suffering. And when we suffer, we are not far from God, but we are close to God. And this suffering is not simply for my good, but it is good. As he subdues my fleshy desires, so I live trusting in his goodness and grace. And then we would not worry, but we would treasure our crosses as the most noblest gifts of God. And we would flee to Christ daily, yes, hourly, reaching out the hand of faith to touch just a hem of his garment, for that is more than enough. So come forward, O you faithful, with eager hearts. Come forward and touch the garment of bread that clothes the flesh of God. His flesh is life-giving, for he is still God, and he has given that body into death, only to take it up again on the third day. He lives, and he comes before you this day to give you his life. He has not ignored you or forsaken you. You do not sneak up on him to get something from him by trickery or deceit, but he turns to you in love. He comes to bless you. You want healing for your problems, for your children, for yourself, but he gives you far more than you could have possibly dreamed. You want help, just a little help for this difficulty, and he turns around and gives you life. You want a little healing. That's it. Nothing more. And he wants to raise you from the dead. In holy baptism, he has done just that, as he has reached out his hand to touch your cold, dead, lifeless hand. He has given you a new life. And so you cannot die. You cannot die. For you are united to Christ, your Redeemer, your Savior, who is always gracious to you. You cannot die, but you will sleep. Unless our Lord returns first, each and every one of us will fall asleep. And none of us is scared to go to bed. In fact, we welcome having an extra hour to sleep. So too, when your resurrected Lord comes to carry you home to your bed, do not fight him kicking and screaming, holding on to this world and what you think you have here. But embrace it. Welcome it. Curl up and fall asleep in peace. For he is still being gracious to you. And that Christ, that life, still lives in your body. So too shall your body awaken at the resurrection of the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.